chapter 3, verse 6. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Let us pray. O Lord, on this special day, in this special gathering each week, you have given us your word. Enable us now to hear it and to be able to know how to apply it in the specifics of our circumstances and our lives, individually and together. Be Lord now over the hearing of your word and over our obedience to your word. Be Lord over our lives in their entirety. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a lady who tells about a time when she was quizzing her preschool class on the story of creation in the scriptures. And she asked the children what God did on the seventh day. And one three-year-old put her hand up and said, "I think he mowed the yard." You may see some grass cutting going on today to and from church. You yourself may even have some plans for some kind of outdoor activity or labor today as well. The fact is, faithful followers of Jesus still differ with one another in their interpretations of what should or shouldn't be done on the Lord's Day. There's always been solid agreement among God's people about the significance of Sabbath and about the significance of Sabbath rest. But there continue to be diverse opinions among folks within the church, especially about how we should do that in our lives and live that out on the Lord's Day. I think this diversity of interpretations is reflected in our scripture passage that I shared with you from the Gospel of Mark. Mark narrates two episodes here from the life and ministry of Jesus, and both of them have to do with the place of the Sabbath, and they take place on the Sabbath. In the first one, Jesus and his disciples are walking along, pushing their way through a field of grain. That's okay. Then they start plucking some of the heads from the stalks. That's not okay. Immediately, some Pharisees accuse Jesus and his followers of violating the law because what they've done constitutes harvesting or reaping, which is prohibited by the religious law on the Sabbath. So Jesus, in this case, counters with an example from the life of David, who once went into the sanctuary and took some consecrated bread, which was only for the priests, and actually fed it to his companions. So if David could commit such a sacrilege on the behalf of his followers, surely Jesus and his disciples shouldn't be criticized for being lawbreakers. After all, even the strictest adherents to the law would acknowledge that human need takes precedence over strict obedience to the details of the law. So in this particular case, Jesus argues that he and his followers should essentially be given a little wiggle room in what they're doing. But notice that Jesus goes beyond debates here about the minutiae of the Sabbath law. He turns the discussion in a different direction by emphasizing God's purpose in giving the law. What was God's intention in the first place in giving this? According to Jesus, God gave the Sabbath law out of his commitment to the welfare of humankind. The Sabbath, he says, was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So this issue of God's purpose, God's intention in the giving of the Sabbath is here in this first part of our text. It's there in the second part of our text as well, where Jesus heals a man with a withered hand. As the congregation looks on, Jesus asks a very pointed question aimed especially at some of the religious leaders. He says, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" And at that point, you could hear a pin drop in the sanctuary. The folks who were gathered there, as one commentator's put it, their silence is poisonous, for it says they care more about their custom than they do about their brother. They are more eager to bring Jesus down than to restore the man's useless hand. In other words, many of the people who were there in that particular place of worship had lost sight of the fact that God gave the Sabbath for human good. That was his intention. They were turning God's gift into an occasion to pursue their agenda instead of God's agenda. So at this point, let me step back just a moment so we can remember that when I'm using the term Sabbath here, it's in a fairly broad sense. Strictly speaking, the Lord's Day, Sunday, as we often refer to it, is not the same thing as the Sabbath in the strict sense, which is a weekly day of rest in Judaism, observed before sundown on Friday till after nightfall on Saturday. Most of the first Christians, though, were Jews, and they continued to recognize the importance of the Sabbath in their lives and in their work and in their families and among their communities. But they continued, as they observed the Sabbath, to focus even more and more on the day of resurrection, the day when they had encountered the risen Lord. And with time, the focus shifted for the Christians more to that day as the special day of worship, as rest as well, but especially worship of the risen Lord. It became the church's special day of rest and worship. But even so, the Jewish term Sabbath is still used, and we still use it in a broad sense to refer to the significant time and day that we call the Lord's Day, Sunday. So having backed up just a moment to say that, let's return to our text and continue to reflect on what Jesus is saying to us about the Sabbath. As I indicated, Jesus warns us against taking what God has given to us for well-being and turning it into a heavy, burdensome kind of experience that's weighed down more by particular rules and customs than it is governed by divine mercy. There's a preacher named David H.C. Reed. He tells about an experience he had as a boy on a particular Sunday. He was whittling a piece of wood, and his grandmother, whom he describes as a strong-minded Methodist, asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm whittling a boat." She said, "Well, they must be hard up for boats if they have to be made on the Sabbath." Maybe you've had experiences in your own life that left you feeling like the Sabbath is basically a grim day when all kinds of stuff is strictly prohibited. Some views of the Sabbath have often focused more on what we shouldn't do, what we shouldn't be about, instead of on what we should be doing and what we are about. It left us with the impression that faithful Sabbath observance involves keeping a somber face, staying away from inappropriate activity. Now, it's certainly true that the Sabbath is something we know from our own experience that shouldn't be taken lightly or casually or indifferently. But that doesn't necessarily mean taking the joy out of the day of the Lord and its gift from God to us. When we look back into the life of God's people, Israel, the Sabbath was supposed to be a time of rest and refreshment, a time of renewal, a time of uplifting fellowship with family and friends. It was a time to remember and reflect on God's saving acts in the life of his people and what the Lord had done for them, a time to be renewed for the life of the week ahead, the work of the week ahead. Let's fit this in some with where we've been over the past several weeks. Remember that during June and the first Sunday of July, all of our sermons focused on the theme of holiness or Christian maturity, about how we as believers are called to make progress and grow in holiness, especially as holiness is expressed through wisdom, vocation, love, and joy. And we should be able to fit Sabbath in there somewhere as well, I think, in view of today's text. In the life of God's people, being holy, reflecting God's holiness, involves awareness of the Sabbath, practice of the Sabbath in different kinds of ways. In the life of God's people, our holiness is inseparable from the Sabbath, not just as a single day of the week, but also as a way of life. A couple of years ago, in an opinion piece, there was a journalist who was writing about the fourth commandment. And she said, reading those verses again made me wonder, what if resting all by itself is the real act of holiness? Just resting is an act of holiness. What if honoring the gift of our only life in this gorgeous world means taking time every week to slow down, to sleep, to breathe? The world has never needed us more, she says, than it needs us now. But we can't be of much use to it if we remain in a perpetual state of exhaustion and despair. I spoke to someone this past week who had just come back from some time off. He didn't really travel much. It sounded more like a staycation in the most minimal sense, as he shared with me. He just stayed at home. He was careful to emphasize that in this case, he didn't even go fishing. And the more I listened to him, the more I could tell that all that doing nothing had made a big difference for him, it looked like, and it helped. He was smiling and laughing more. He seemed more energetic. He said he'd even jokingly told his wife, "I haven't felt like this since I was 16 or 17 years old." And those words from a man who's probably in his late 50s, after 1.5 weeks or so of just staying at home, resting. I think our Sunday morning gathering should have a similar effect in your life and in my life. I don't mean that by the time that you leave this sanctuary here today, you're going to feel like your body's clock has been rolled back decades and changed that dramatically. But there should be a certain refreshment and renewal, a revival of heart and mind and soul that comes from being together in the Lord's house with God's people for praise and thanks. It's true that this gathering takes effort. Worship involves working in various ways, but worship is also a form of rest, of learning how to be at rest in the presence of God instead of as intensely focused on our activity, our productivity, our energy, our power, our accomplishments, but more on those of the Lord and His presence. Now, as for how you yourself will use the rest of this day, especially going on into the afternoon and the evening, like I said, different folks may have different interpretations of what Sabbath practice may involve. Some folks nowadays need to leave the Lord's house and head to their place of employment. That's part of the picture that we're in our circumstances, in our contemporary setting. For them, making ends meet may involve having to clock in on Sundays. Being completely off from work isn't always an option. And I think that's probably become even more so with the expansion of remote work, working from home. We're in more of a situation now where it feels like it's harder and harder to really set aside our work, which is with us 24/7 in various kinds of ways. It's harder to feel like we've set aside our work in order to focus on other priorities like home, family, recreation, physical well-being, the cultivation of relationships within communities of people with others. I think some of this has become even more so during the coronavirus pandemic. Many people have taken a second look at their priorities. The hardships and the challenges of the past year have created space for lots of folks to reassess their lives, revise the pace of their life and what they're focusing on. In April 2020, I went back when COVID-19 was just, you remember, still in its early stages. And there was one journalist who wrote at that time, "When this is all over, next month, or whenever it diminishes," that was a pretty optimistic assessment at that point, "can we please even then keep some of this sweet slowness that we've been slowed down? Can we purposefully hold on to our extended Sabbath and slow down at least once a week and find the quiet and peace?" Quiet and peace. Observing the Sabbath faithfully in all its forms and practicing other forms of Sabbath during the course of the week in our daily lives, it means not only rest, that's part of it, but also worship, like here and now, that realigns us with the will of God and the purposes of God and the priorities of God. That's a big part of why we gather on the Lord's Day for this service, is to help us realign with the will, the purpose, and the priorities of God, rather than getting too off track into just our purposes, our agendas, our accomplishments, our activity, our priorities, but recenter on the Lord's priorities. The Lord's Day isn't simply about what we don't do, what we refrain from. That's part of it. Always has been, and it should continue to be for us as followers of Jesus, things that we basically avoid or refrain from on this day. But it's also about not simply what we don't do, it's about what we do on this day and how we intentionally pursue God's will on this special day each week and the days in between Sunday. Jesus captures this in the declaration that he makes here in our scripture. He says to those who were gathered there in that place of worship, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. To help us get a better handle on that, I want to share a story with you that I did several years ago in a sermon about a large electronic retailer in New York City called B&H Photo. It's owned by a group of Hasidic Jews who strictly observe the Sabbath and other Jewish holy days during the course of the year. And during the Sabbath, customers can peruse the church's website, but they're not permitted to place an order. You can look on the website, shop around, but not place an order. And there was a customer who once asked the store's director of communications how they could close the retail store and not even allow purchases on their website on Black Friday of all days, the busiest shopping day of the year. And the director simply replied, "We respond to a higher authority." Now, from a Christian standpoint, as people who believe that Jesus is Lord over our lives in every respect, in every dimension, including our Sabbath practice, I think that we too can say that the reason we do what we do or don't do on this day is because we answer and respond to a higher authority, our Lord Jesus Christ. So today, as on every Sunday, we're commanded to use this day in whatever forms that takes, to use this day in the spirit of our Lord, according to the will of our Lord, and aligned with the purposes and the priorities of our Lord. That means essentially that we're called to rest and to worship and to do good, the will of God, to do good in the lives of others that brings life and healing and wholeness to other people. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for the gift of this day, this one, and this day every week, when we can come together to praise and thank you, be refreshed and renewed in your presence, and go from here to live out Sabbath in whatever forms that takes us into the rest of this day. We pray for the guidance of your Spirit in our Sunday decisions about how we will use this gift and time entrusted to us. We pray for your guidance in the ways that we practice Sabbath in between Sundays, the importance of rest and renewal in our lives. We ask you now to keep us under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and keep us aligned with his will, his spirit, his priorities as we go about this day, each Sunday, and all the days in between, that it will be for the praise of your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.